There was a rich man who dressed in purple garments and fine linen and dined sumptuously each day. And lying at his door was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who would have gladly have eaten his fill of the scraps that fell from the rich man's tables. Dogs even used to come and lick his sores. When the poor man died, he was carried away by angels to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried, and from the netherworld he was in torment. He raised his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he cried out, "Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering torment in these flames." Abraham replied, "My child, remember that you received what was good during your lifetime, while Lazarus likewise received what was bad. But now he is comforted here, whereas you are tormented. Moreover, between us and you, a great chasm is established to prevent anyone from crossing who might wish to go from our side to yours, or from your side to ours." He said, "Then I beg you, Father, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they too come to this place of torment." But Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." He said, "Oh no, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." Then Abraham said, "If they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord. It's a familiar parable that Jesus gives us today of Lazarus and the rich man. And obviously, there's something to be said about caring for the poor in this. But I want to dive a little deeper into this story. And I want to do so by examining how this parable applies to the Pharisees. For after all, Jesus is the one who was addressing them when he gave them this parable. Now, in the mind of the Pharisees, when they heard this story begin, they would see the rich man as someone who was blessed by God, given all of his wealth by God. But then they would see Lazarus as someone who is being punished by God for some great sin or transgression of the law. Now the Pharisees, unlike the Sadducees, they believed in the resurrection. And so they assumed that the rich man would continue to be rewarded in the afterlife, while Lazarus would continue to be punished. But Jesus, as he is wont to do, turns their expectation on its head. Instead of reward, the rich man endures punishment. Instead of punishment, Lazarus is comforted. By now, they should expect this from Jesus. After all, earlier in Luke's gospel, he claimed, "Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours." 4 verses later in Luke's gospel, Jesus says, "But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. But woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry." So Jesus is offering a different worldview, one that is based on God's love and mercy. He is asking them to embrace this worldview and practice it. He asks them to love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. But ultimately, the Pharisees believed they could earn God's love and mercy by following the law. That's why they were the ones that were typically complaining to Jesus when he either healed on the Sabbath or his disciples picked the head of grain on the Sabbath, violating the law about working on the Sabbath. But the law was given by God for his chosen people to have a harmonious society, not as a way to earn his love or his mercy. So what is this story telling us, Jesus' modern-day disciples? Well, one lesson we should learn is that all people demand our respect as they are created by God in his image and likeness. Yes, it's a good thing to volunteer at soup kitchens, food pantries, or in the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. But those people who volunteer do face the temptation of questioning the poor that they are called to serve in terms of the choices those people make, choices that have brought them to this situation. We are to follow God's example of love and mercy. While the human family was separated by God from their own sin, he sent his Son into the world to become one of us, to show the way to eternal life through his passion, death, and resurrection. As he has shown us his love, we are to share his love with everyone we encounter, most especially the poor. The Pharisees, as I said before, believed that they could earn God's love. And part of the law was to set aside some of their own goods to take care of the poor. Part of the law says, do not harvest your field all the way to the edge, but leave roughly 10% of it for the poor to come and pick to feed themselves. They see the poor as a way for them to get into God's good graces. So the other lesson that we learn is that God's mercy is given out of the love he has for us. It is nothing that we earn. God is the one who loved us first. God is the one who approached the human family to offer salvation through his Son. So we are not to be motivated to do good works to earn heaven. We can never, none of us can never perfectly follow God's commands because we are all sinners. There is no way we can ever earn the gift of heaven. Instead, we need to recognize that that gift of eternal life has been offered to us by a God who loves us, and then respond to God's love by loving our neighbor. One of the most important verses in the Gospels is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only Son, that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. This describes the love of the Father that loved the human family so much, so as to send his Son for our salvation. This describes the love of the Son, who gave up everything, including his very life, for our salvation. And this describes the love of the Holy Spirit, who from the moment of our baptism took up residence in our hearts to accompany on us through our journey through life towards salvation. May our encounter of the love of our triune God motivate us to love one another the way that Jesus loves us, totally and selflessly. Because at the end of our life on earth, Jesus is preparing to welcome us in eternal life in heaven.